Good evening, welcome to Know Yourself. This is Dan Udell, and I'm here with love coach and relationship expert. She's been on the show before, and it's an absolute pleasure to have her back. It's Elizabeth Overstreet from the States.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
It's great to be back.
It's great to have you back. The feedback from the episode that we did last time, you know, where I interviewed you, was really great. We had a couple of people on Instagram commenting. I've had a couple of people message me direct as well, say that they really liked the advice that you gave. I think people just really responded to you as a person, is the general feel that I got. You know, it's kind of like that intuition that I spoke about before. You just really naturally like tune into people and how they're wired and how they specifically work in relationships. So the feedback was really great, and someone actually reached out and they asked, you know, for us to get back together and if we could talk a little bit about breakups. So that's why we're here today.
Yeah, and you know, it's always good to get feedback, because you and I were talking earlier, and sometimes you put out information or you write stories, you do podcasts, like I'm a writer, and you don't always hear any feedback, so you always wonder, does anyone get anything out of that, or was it valuable information? So I love to hear back from the listeners, just what they're thinking, if the advice is practical, what's on their mind, because I think a lot of us are going through similar challenges in our lives, our relationships, and it's always nice to be able to get that feedback of how people are coping or ways to cope through different situations.
Yeah, totally. Like, we read your comments on Instagram and your tweets, so watch out.
Yeah, we take it very seriously. I know, because I know I was just thinking that, like, I was telling Dan, like, some things that you write about and you get instant, you know, responses, and then there's some things you write and you hear nothing. It's like crickets. So you just never know what's resonating with people, and, you know, what, you know, it's something that had helped them. But when you do get that feedback, it's just the most rewarding thing to know that you can someone through something that's difficult.
Yeah, totally. Like, for me, this was like dipping my toe in the water, like talking about like relationships and stuff, because it was like, it was an area I wasn't really sure if like I was ready to go into myself. But when we were talking, it just started like coming out really naturally, like just now, really. Like, I just find it really easy to like talk to you. So, you know, all of these ingredients like come together sometimes, and I think it creates a really great episode for people.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's all different perspectives and different experiences. So even though I coach people on relationships and I give out relationship advice, I'm listening and reading and learning from everyone as well. So it's definitely a reciprocal type of process.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I had a bit of a think before coming on the, you know, like coming on recording and speaking to you on Skype. Like, I think it's interesting that there's so many different reasons why people can split. You know, it can be like amicable, like it can be people where they've, you know, you hear this a lot, where people have grown apart as people. It could be long distance because they're moving away. It could be something more severe, like cheating on a partner. Or it could just be, you know, you've begun to find out more about that person as the relationship develops, because it was kind of like what we spoke about in the last episode that we did together. Like, it takes like years to really get to know someone, and sometimes once you've collected all that information and you've got like a rounded like picture of what that person looks like, they're not always the person that you're after.
Yeah, and I think we put a lot of pressure on relationships. We, you know, our natural inclination for the most part is to find that one, right, or find that person. Or for people in polyamorous relations, persons to which you feel connected. And so when you go through the process and you finally let your guard down and you open your heart and you allow yourself to be vulnerable and it doesn't work out, it can be pretty traumatic, you know, and difficult. And especially if you've gone through that process several times, you know, it can really leave you feeling a little jaded. So I think it's, you know, important to know that some relationships are for a season, right, or reason, or a lifetime. So, you know, come into our lives to teach us lessons. Some people come into our lives to help us heal. Some people are in our lives for longer periods of time, and if you're really lucky, you get someone that stays in your life for a significant amount of time. But every relationship, no matter how long it goes, my friend told me this, and it's kind of dreadful in a way. He's like, everything ends because someone's going to die. And I'm like, ooh. But you may lose your partner, or it's going to come to an end. So everything really does technically come to an end. But I think if you can have the ability to allow yourself to be open to loving somebody, that's pretty, you know, that's a significant experience you don't want to miss out on. So I don't want people to beat themselves up over having relationship failures, because I think it's more common to have things not work than to have things actually work out with someone for the long term.
Interesting. I like that your friend said that.
You know. I know, he's such a pragmatist.
it's quite dreary, but like it's true. Like, you're gonna have to, one of the people in the relationship is gonna eventually have to go through that breakup.
When he said that to me, I was like, oh, that's kind of true, but that's really sad. But it puts things in perspective in a way, right? So I thought it was kind of interesting perspective to have.
Yeah. Just so you're aware, I'm going to move my laptop because the signal is just going a little bit. So for you people at home, I'm doing my best to make sure our signal's good. So yeah, if it sounds a little bit dodgy and we sound like robots, that's why. So yeah, I like the pragmatism of it, you know. I think it's very like cyclical, isn't it? It's like the seasons, they all come to an end. Like, sometimes relationships with people come to an end. It can even be friendships as well. Like, you know, sometimes it's worth having the conversation in your head about breaking up with friends, and sometimes even like family members. It's something that I've had to like wrestle with in my head recently, you know, who's in my circle, like who's serving who, and are we doing that to the best of our ability, like in each of the relationships? Like, am I like looking out for them and their like needs and their wants, and are they doing the same for me? So like, I think that's like an interesting dynamic here as well. Like, I know we're talking about like relationships, but I think that extends beyond like romantic relationships as well.
Personal relationships, and I think with regard to relationships, you need different things at different times. I remember reading an article about the different love you have in your life. That, you know, there's your first love, which there's nothing that's going to be like your first love, because it's your first love. It's the first time you really are feeling these emotions for someone. It's very innocent usually. It has a lot of infatuation and passion to it. But that's your first love. And then as you mature, sometimes you have that second love. And then that second love could be, you know, a different type of feeling. But again, you're like, oh, this is going pretty well. I'm enjoying this person. I really, you know, I'm falling in deep with them. But then maybe it doesn't work out. And then your third love is the more mature love, or the more reality of, okay, this is who this person is. This is who I am. And I think that the point of the article is not that you have necessarily three loves, but what it's saying is that as you mature and as you change and evolve, the love represents that. So that early phase of love is very innocent because it's your first experience, right? And as you gain more experience and you come into your own, then your relationships change based on that. The way you see people, the way you see yourself. And I agree with you that the relationships that you have are not just the intimate ones. That, you know, you have that evolve over time. They're the friendships you have with people, they're the relationships you have with your family. So family's tough because you're connected, right? And so there's this extra expectation of loyalty. But at the same time, even if that relationship at a certain time with someone in your family is unhealthy or detrimental, you have to, just like you would in an intimate relationship, leave that relationship alone or recalibrate it or change it. So I agree, you have to take this approach almost in each type of relationship you have, not just one with a significant other.
I like the recalibration that you mentioned as well, because like sometimes, like, just because something's bad, like, it doesn't mean that it needs to come to an end. Like, you know, there can be that kind of like a call to action, or like a candid conversation where it's like, you know, let's be honest with each other, like, what's going on.
Right. Or sometimes I think relationships, you just need a break. There's sometimes relationships where, like, I have a friend I've been friends with since college, and we talked about that recently. Like, there were ebbs and flows in our relationship over the 20 years we've known each other. There are times we were really close, and there are times we really didn't talk that much, but we always knew we were there for each other. But as we gotten more mature, we had those conversations about where we felt the other, you know, person let the other person down with regard to the relationship, which I actually think, like you said, once we had that discussion, it helped me to see things through a different lens. Because a lot of times when we're seeing things, we're looking at it from our perspective, and we're assuming that the other person sees it either from the same perspective or the perspective we think they're seeing it from, right? Which could be totally off. So what you said, sometimes just like kind of rechanneling or changing the way you approach that relationship or have an honest discussion about it can really help that relationship thrive a lot differently.
Yeah. Like, I know, like through the training that I've had, you learn to be a lot more honest with yourself and other people, because you've got to, you know, you've got to be able to sit in front of someone and say to them, you know, this is what you're telling me and this is what I'm seeing as a result of that. And you kind of have to do that with yourself and the other people in your relationships. And it's been really interesting for me, like, talking with people and saying to them, like, you know, what you're doing is this, or like, you know, how I am, it's like this because of this, you know, like just honestly explaining like how I feel about things, even if it's like saying to someone, I'm annoyed at you because of this.
Right.
It's been
there's something you said about being honest though, right? Like when someone tells you how they feel, it's just, to me, it's less guesswork. And it may not feel good in the moment, but I think it helps you proceed. And if you think of any, like, guys are kind of funny this way. Some of the best relationships that guys have built with each other, usually there was confrontation first or early on. And then it builds this, like, alliance to the person, right? And I think that, like, you know, sometimes we are afraid to tell people, like, I don't, you know, like, the other day, I just did not want to talk to another person. It wasn't really about them specifically. It was just, you know, how you have days you just, you're tired mentally and you just need to kind of regroup, and you keep pushing yourself, but you're not a good conversationalist because you're totally out of it. And people are feeling it, but you're thinking, okay, I'm still trying to be there. And so I was talking to my mom, and I was just really spent emotionally. And I said, Mom, I love you, but I just can't have this conversation right now. It's not you. I want to talk to you, but I need some time for myself. And normally I wouldn't have done that, but it kind of felt freeing, and she didn't take it so personally, you know? And so I think we got to learn to kind of create those boundaries, or learn to kind of just say some of the things that are on our mind. As long as you do it in a respectful way, I think people appreciate the truth. Kind of like the person who has that difficult personality, but people just say, oh, that's just Ron. That's just the way he is. Like,
yeah,
he does that to everyone. He's an equal opportunity person of like being annoying with everybody. And people almost like disavow the behavior because they're like, that's unique to that person. So I think you kind of have to have that approach to the way you communicate with people, not being afraid to just say, hey, you know, this is where I'm at, or this bothers me, because otherwise you just waste so much time and energy sometimes having a one-sided disagreement with yourself about, sorry about that.
It's all right.
I don't connect to my fear. But yeah, sometimes you end up having a one-sided situation where you think it's one way for years. We've heard of these stories. And then in the end, they're like, oh, I wasn't mad about that at all. So it's just like wasted energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's interesting as well, because you mentioned like communication, and that is something that's so like important for me. I didn't realize how much like over communicating, or even just talking more, how much that can help by saying like it, like the things that you said when you're having that conversation with your mom, and you're like, look, it's nothing to you. I just really, you know, can't be dealing with like talking to people today. Like, it's just, you know, it's just how it is. Everyone gets that. It's just sometimes people don't give themselves that permission to go, you know, to be able to say that to people and say, look, you know, I know you might want to talk about this right now, but I really just need a little bit of space. Like, I need some me time.
Yeah. And people will respect that, actually, and you'll feel better. I always feel like you can't really bring your best self forward if you're not taking what you need for yourself, you know, whether that be time, space, you know, quiet time, or, you know, time just to kind of get yourself back together, emotionally or physically or spiritually or whatever you need to do. So, you know, when you allow that space for yourself to do it, then it's like you come back into the picture a lot better for everyone. You become better daughter, better son, better husband, wife, you know, sister, whatever, because you're taking care of yourself. But in a world where everything is so fast paced and we're being pulled in so many directions, it's more difficult to do, right? So you really have to be conscientious of your time and how you spend it and where you give energy. But I think that it always catches up with you when you try to do too much eventually at some point.
Yes. Yeah. I read a book. Well, actually, I didn't read a book. I listened to like an audio book, and it was by a guy called Mark Manson. It's called A Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I think I've read that book.
And
well, you know, does he have another one, like How to Unfuck Your Life or something like that? Is that him?
Yeah, I think that's the same guy, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's interesting because he says, like, what things to not give a fuck about and things to give a fuck about, and how we have, like, the scale in our head so wrong. It should be, like, you know, we, like, have so few things that we actually give a fuck about, and there should be so much stuff that we don't, like, we should pick and choose the things to actually, like, care about, was, like, one of the main messages of the book. And it was a real, like, revelation to me, like, what you said, like, choosing what to spend your time on, and who to spend your time on. It was like, whoa, I actually get to choose.
Right, you forget you have choice, and you know, sometimes they say there's a lot of power in the N word. No. Like, you know, a lot of times we go to yes, automatically, or I'll try to, as opposed to just starting with no. No's a complete sentence. You know, no frees you up. No is a good word. It helps you to really pick and choose, like you said, those things you want to prioritize and have time on those things you want to prioritize. So I agree that we kind of get caught up in thinking those things are much more important than they really are.
Yeah. So you've actually written a couple of articles about breaking up.
I have, yes. I have extensive experience with it. I'm kidding. I I do have some real experience with it too, personally. But yeah, I've coached people through it, and I think that breakups are just really hard, because a lot of times you've invested this energy into a person, and you thought it was going to work, or you know, a relationship starts off so great, and then, like you said earlier in the podcast, you see things about the person and you're like, oh, that's not, it didn't go quite the way I thought it would be, or the person shifts a little bit. So it can be really difficult for people, and we were saying this earlier, like, when you go through a significant breakup, it's like losing somebody, losing a piece of you, so that you really go through grieving stages.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like, the processing, I always remember I was going through, like, a real rough breakup, and I was speaking to my therapist, and she really, like, opened my eyes, because I was talking, and I just said, like, I was just devastated about this girl, and I was like, I just don't know what I'm gonna do, like, you know, I just feel... like, why do I feel this way, was what I was asking. And she said, like, well, what you've, you know, when you break up with someone, when a relationship ends, it's like grief, you know, it's like, it's losing someone, like, it's a loss out of your life, you know, you're no longer part of each other's lives for whatever reason. So she said, for that reason, it's, you know, very much like someone passing away, you know, you've still got, it's sometimes worse because the person's still around and they can, like, invoke that same emotion again when you bump into them. And it was interesting because we were chatting beforehand, and, like, I said, like, we were talking, I said, oh, I wonder if I should mention this, because, like, 30% of relationships start because of work, like a colleague, a customer, or a third party that interacts with the company. So, like, there's going to be 1 in 3 people that have a relationship at work, and when it ends, you're going to be seeing that person, like, every day, or, you know, maybe even once a week, or, you know, that you're going to be bumping into that person, and it's going to be hurt.
And even beyond that, like back in the day, I'm a little older than you, I think. So back in the day, you broke up with someone and it was done. Today, you break up with someone, you have social media. So you can perpetually be looking at them forever, right? So it's not, you know, I think out of sight, out of mind, of course, you still would miss them. You still go through the feelings, the grief. But when you don't see someone, it's different, right? It's like you can really kind of let it go. But now in the world of social media, I mean, you can constantly look at their Facebook and see that they've moved on with a terrifically handsome husband or wife or whatever, right? Right. So it could just inflict that trauma over and over again. You have to really be, you know, you have to really be vigilant in how you close it out, as far as like saying, okay, I'm going to stop looking at their page. I'm going to use technology to my advantage. I'm going to block their number, or I'm going to block them, so I'm not even seeing that visual. Because like you said, every time you saw that person, it just reignites those feelings, right? Of how you felt about them, the breakup. It's just like you kind of relive it over and over. So yeah. I think that's one of the breakups today that's really difficult.
So specifically, like, one of the people that reached out to, like, both of us to ask us to do this episode, like, about, you know, breakups, they said, like, the question that they asked was, you know, how do you handle a breakup once it happens? Like, what does a person do, like, you know, so the relationship's ended. It's either because you wanted it to end or the other person in the relationship, you know, male, female, it doesn't matter, like, wanted the relationship to end. Like, what do you do next? You know, what
So full transparency, one of the reasons I ended up writing my book is because I went through a really bad breakup. And it was difficult because we didn't walk away hating each other or disliking each other. It was amicable. But I just knew for me, I wanted it to go in a certain direction. And the person I was in a relationship didn't. It was a relationship. So I can speak to this firsthand for, you know, people that are listening. So some of the techniques I used was like, when you need to cry, just cry. I think, you know, one of the big things that people don't do a lot of times, especially in the age of like having so much availability to dating partners, is they think people are replaceable, right? So as soon as they're done, they're like on to the next thing. But what happens if you don't allow yourself to heal and just feel through the pain and discomfort of the breakup is you take the problems you had in the previous relationship to the next relationship. So then it just becomes repeatable cycles. So I would say, you know, initially take some time to just heal. Just, you know, when you're upset, it's okay. If you need to cry, go have a cry and take that time. The other thing that I found to be really helpful during that time is going to do something fun. And that's very counterintuitive because when you break up with someone, you just want to sit in front of the TV and eat your ice cream and cookies. Yeah. Right? And just kind of sit out or whatever just to not deal with those feelings because you feel horrible. But I think there's something about going to do something you enjoy that helps to shift your mindset, I should say, about the breakup. So, I mean, we have a lot of ways you can use technology to your advantage. Like Meetup has great, I don't know if you have Meetup in the UK, but probably something similar, but Meetup is like a site you can go to and you can find pretty much any interests that you have and find a group of people that do that particular interest, whether it's hiking, rowing boats or running or walking or going to cultural events. So people don't feel so alone in doing it. So I think like there's some value in doing that because often the way you heal yourself is by just kind of just getting out there and forcing yourself to, you know, to shift your mindset, like I was saying. And then the other thing I think that could be really helpful is journaling. There's something about like putting pen to paper and visually seeing something that's bothering you on paper. It makes it less daunting.
Yes.
And if you do it day to day, and I did this post breakup, I journaled and I wrote my book. And I've been wanting to write this book forever when I was in the relationship, but really the feelings and the emotions that I had post-relationship were the things that end up being in the book. But I would journal each day when I was sad, how I felt. And as you journal through it, it's a cathartic way to just kind of move through that particular situation or scenario. And it becomes less big in your mind, right? And then you'll look back and you'll reflect, and a week later, 2 weeks later, you'll say, whoa, I was here a week ago, but now I'm here. So it really just helps you to kind of get it out of your system in a different way.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, edit the same things. I have other ideas, but I don't want to just keep going. But
no, it's all right. I get what you mean about the journal. It's kind of like a knife in the ground to say, like, you know, this is where I was at a certain point. Like, I could barely get out of bed. Like, there was tissues everywhere. And then you look at it again, like, a week later, like, oh, okay, at least I'm actually up and about now, and I wasn't, like, how I was, you know, last week. It's, like, a point to, like, it's something to point at and go, well, actually, like, I'm doing okay now. Like, if I just remember the journal, you know, that progress is happening, it's just probably slower than I want it to be. You know, it's an important thing to remember.
Right, exactly. And I just think, you know, journaling is effective in a lot of different ways, even outside of breakups. Like, I found when something really bothers me, just putting it pen to paper and seeing it on paper, it just becomes less daunting. So I think there's something psychological there, and also visual, that allows you to kind of look at it from a different perspective when it's on paper. I mean, the other thing I think is really helpful is, like, you can Netflix and chill, not in the way we typically think about it, but with, you know, with yourself or with close friends, and really focus on watching comedies or genres of people who've overcome difficult situations. I think that, like, we all as humans have to go through traumatic things. That's just a part of life. And I think when you are able to look at someone else's journey, it really can help change or help you through a particular situation. So, you know, for me, I found that, like, you know, watching stories about people overcoming different challenging situations or scenarios, it really just helped me to realize, okay, I'm going through this, but I'm going to be okay. Other people have gotten through this situation, or other people have gotten through worse situations. And reading things that are positive during that time frame, I really am a big believer in affirmations. You know, saying that I deserve to be loved, I'm going to be okay. Just what you feed your mind, I think that does help your mind to evolve, right, through a traumatic situation.
Yeah, like the things that you feed your mind. Interesting. So one of the things that I was thinking about with regards to breakups, like, for me, it's about getting back to basics. Like, it's a word that's kind of, like, thrown around, and I really like it because it encapsulates, like, everything perfectly. It's, like, self-care. Some people call it self-love as well, but, like, I think self-care is more practical because it's the actual, like, you know, it's basically, like, looking after yourself. Like, it might sound silly, but, like, you know, for me, like, a recent example was, like, I literally had to take a break from the podcast for, like, a couple of weeks because I was doing so much of it that I just, like, I needed to take a break, otherwise I would have burnt myself out. And, like, I knew I was getting to that point because I was getting, like, sloppy. Like, I wasn't going to badminton anymore. I stopped going around the woods for walks, which I love doing. And, you know, I was kind of, like, alienating myself from people a little bit because I was just exhausted. And, you know, it's stuff like that, like taking care of yourself, like basics, like, am I sleeping enough? Have I had takeaway like 5 times this week? You know, like, I don't know if I just said this, yeah, but like, am I sleeping enough? Am I eating enough? You know, have I done any exercise today, even if it's just getting up and going for a walk around the block? Like, if you want to really move your mindset, like, get up and move. Like, I don't know what it is about, like, you know, going for a walk, but it really just, like, transfers, like, your mindset into, like, the doing mode. Something that always gets me is, like, doing the washing up. Like, I literally have some of my best ideas when I do the washing up, which is probably not that often, to be honest.
Everyone has their thing. Like, some people, when they're running, they have their best ideas. Some people, when they're taking a shower in the morning, they have their best ideas. Like, everyone has, you know, those creative aha moments in those particular times. That just means your mind is relaxed and open, which is a good thing. And I agree totally what you're saying about the self-care, the self-love, because when you're in a relationship, sometimes you neglect yourself because you're so busy focusing on making the other person happy. So I think that, you know, when you're single, you know, and you go through a breakup, the positive side of it is that you're not going to be single forever. And now is your time to kind of do things you weren't doing or do when you're in a relationship. You really don't have to check in with someone. You don't have to ask their permission to do something. So all those things you've been holding back on, now is your time to do them. And again, I know in the heat of a breakup, you're not thinking about that, but I think channeling that energy that way just really helps you, because eventually you will be back in another relationship. So it's like you said, it's a good time to just demonstrate some self-care for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that time. You know, you mentioned about the journaling, like all these things in a perfect world, we'd be doing all these things. Like,
right.
Ask me the last time I did a journal. It was like 2-3 weeks ago. Like, I say to myself that I like to do it weekly, but like, you know, you've also got to like give yourself a break. Like, that's self-care. Absolutely. As well, right?
Absolutely. Like, sometimes it's okay to unplug from social media. You know, you and I are tied to it more because we're doing, you know, podcasts and writing and different things. And but yeah. Sometimes it's okay to turn off your phone or to leave your phone in another room where you can't see it, or to just not take any calls. Like, all of that is okay as long as you're, you know, respecting yourself and taking care of yourself. Like, if you need that, you need that. And I think that sometimes, like you said, it's hard for us to give ourselves permission to do those things, but those are the things that are most important, because you only have one you, and you have to really treasure and balance things out for you.
Yeah. I couldn't have put that better myself. Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I really like that. You know, when something's like just going around your head a little bit, I don't know.
I mean, it really is like, it's like, you know, how people who are very particular about working out and taking care of their bodies. And so that's they look at it like, this is my dome. This is my body. This is my kingdom, whatever they want to call it. And I think your self-care, your mental well-being, like if you don't have your mental well-being, you don't have your mental faculties and they're all out of whack. I mean, that's a very crazy, disoriented type of way to live, right? So you really got to look at it like, this is, you know, my mind, my mental well-being is my temple, and I got to really honor it and take care of it and nurture it, because this is the only one I have. And if I don't, there's consequences. And we see those consequences in society. Those consequences are people having different addictions, right? Or mental breakdowns. So it's a very real thing to take care of your mental well-being.
Yes. Totally agree. I think something else that's important as well, like that I wanted to ask, and it's a little bit like 50% rhetorical, but also 50% like I genuinely want your point of view on this. Like, what do you know? What is the time frame for like getting over like someone or like getting over a breakup?
I think it's really dependent upon the person. Every person has different levels of healing, and it depends on where you were in the relationship. It depends on how long you were in flux about the relationship ending. So a lot of times in longer relationships, people have probably broken up a couple times, right? And there may have been a time when they really broke up for a short period of time. So they may have lived through some of the trauma already of the breakup. So then when the breakup comes, it's finality to it, but they may not grieve it as long because they kind of anticipated it was coming, or they've experienced it on a certain level, right? And then there's some people that may just, they just may say, I really don't want to date or do anything for a year. Like, I really think it depends on the person. And then there are some people that are like, I'm jumping right back in. And I don't advise that. I think you at least need like a 90-day period. That's my opinion, but I do see people on all wavelengths doing different things. There was a dating coach I was on a panel with before, and I remember asking him the question, like, you know, how long do you think people should wait? And, you know, and his opinion was like, you shouldn't wait. If you get an opportunity to love someone, you should go for it. It doesn't matter. Time is just, it's a thing, but it's not something that, you know, should be set in stone that, okay, I'm not going to have another relationship. But some people just want that break to kind of give themselves some clarity and, you know, spiritual healing. Like, it just, I don't think there's a right answer to it, is what I'm saying. I know I'm being long-winded. Yeah. I think it just really depends on the person. So different people have different needs. Some people will wait months, some people days, some people years. Some people don't ever recover. It just really depends on the person.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, from my experience, I've had like a real mixture of both. Like, I've had a breakup and then gone into something too soon, and
Right.
then it's
The
kind of like rebound territory.
rebound or the filler. Because I mean, it's normal. Like there, I think when you break up, there's definitely a fear of loneliness, and sometimes there can be someone around you that actually is part of your healing too. And that's why I say it's different for each person. So you could meet someone in the midst of you breaking up with someone else, and they just help you to really shift your mindset. You know, it's not for the long term, but it kind of gets you even in a weird kind of way. And so I think that. But then I think there's instances too, like you said, that it could just, you may need longer, right? I really think that is measured on the depth of that relationship as well, right? How long you were in it, if you were going to get married, if you were engaged, if you lost someone suddenly, you know, like you're widowed. Because I have a client like that who has, she's very young, her 3-year-old husband died unexpectedly. And she said that she really knew she wanted to date within a certain time period. She was ready. But she said she was in a widow support group, and in the widow support group, there was someone who weren't had made a decision they weren't going to date for a year or two or whatever. So again, everyone just kind of, they deal with it differently. Everyone grieves a little differently the end of the relationship.
Gosh.
Hope I didn't make you sad with that. That was kind of heavy,
No, it's all
but.
right. I was just thinking, it can be like that. 'Cause like people think that they get married and that's it, but there's life after that. There's like sometimes you become a widow or a widower.
Right, those are things you don't anticipate, right? You just don't know what can happen.
Yeah, like I guess in like on your scene, like as like a love coach and relationship expert, like on your scene, you must see people like they're divorcees. This is like their second, maybe even third time round on the dating scene after a marriage, or they might just come to you and be like, I've literally just like divorce, gone for a divorce, like. Now
Right.
what?
I mean, there's people who have coached the married, they're like they were college sweethearts or they got married super young and all of a sudden now they, you know, they've been together 20 years or more, and then they have to that their marriage suddenly ends. Not through death, just the partner wakes up and says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. And so that's pretty significant and pretty traumatic because this person, they've grown up with them. So there's a whole relearning process to that. And it really shakes up a person's confidence. So, you know, I see all sides of it, like the widows, the people who've been in long-term relationships, people who've been in short, intense relationships, people who've been engaged, people who've been married multiple times, right? And hoping that it works, but it doesn't. Having to start over and their fear around it, their vulnerability around it, you know, you're them second guessing themselves. I just think we're all human. We're going to make mistakes when it comes to relationships. But I just think that the key point of it is that you should get better along the way, meaning you should be able to learn, right, from the things you did, pay attention to it, pay attention to maybe what your shortcomings were during that period. Not blame yourself so much because people shift and change. That's why it's a relationship, it's relational. So different things affect people different ways. And when they're with someone else, you never know how that's going to affect the relationship as a whole. So sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes it has nothing to do with you. It's just timing, or a person changes, or a person suddenly, you know, they may have some significant event happen in their life and they look at things differently. So I just hope people don't, I don't want people to walk away from our podcast thinking or blaming themselves further because I don't think it's about that. But I just think it's about getting better about the process of
Yeah.
understanding yourself, right? And understanding what you need. And when you go through the moment, understand that, okay, this happens to people like me all the time.
Yeah, 'cause like it's kind of like that thing about like growing apart, like 'cause you can, over the course of time, and I know I've done this, like you can just become your experiences like shape you and the things that you learn and the things, more importantly, the things that you learn about yourself, they shape you and therefore like they change the dynamics within your relationship. So what was once a relevant relationship can, very quickly become irrelevant because, you're just not that person anymore. Like, you know, for example, for me, like, I don't really drink that much anymore. Like, whereas I used to drink quite a bit, like, and, you know, be on, like, the social scene. But now, like, for me, it's just, I kind of prefer, like, a quiet night in. Like, and that's just because I've changed. So it could be even little things like that.
Absolutely. And that changes the whole, I mean, so, you know, think about someone who all of a sudden realizes they have an alcoholic, let's go to the other extreme, they're alcoholic, right? And then say your relationship was based on sharing drinking experiences, right? Like you go out and party all the time. That relationship, if that person decides to go get treatment, that relationship dynamic is going to be totally different. That might not even be the same person that they really are compatible with, because maybe that compatibility was built on that experience. And now that that person can't really share in that experience because they have a problem with it, that shifts that entire relationship. So that's one of those breakups where, like, things happen for reasons, right? And in that particular situation, it's not about the other person, because they may not be an alcoholic, but it's just now this other person has this addiction issue, and now they're dealing with that, and it just fundamentally will shift that relationship. So I'm taking what you said in, like, a more extreme fashion, but I think there's all these different dynamics that can come into play in relationships.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting because it can be, like, say, nothing to do with you, and then at the same time it can be everything to do with you.
Everything to do with you, right?
Like, if I look back, and, like, this is where, you know, it goes back to what we were saying earlier, it's, we're kind of like going in a circle, which is nice in a good way, because, like, it comes back to being honest with yourself. Like, hindsight is always 20/20, and I'm able to look back, and because I'm able to be honest with myself, I can look back on, like, some of the more significant relationships with women, and I can say, you know, like, there was stuff on my side of the fence and there was stuff that wasn't, but, like, I made mistakes, and, you know, they made mistakes as well. There's obviously, of course, there's going to be, like, situations where, like, you've legit not done anything wrong, and, like, they might have just, like, flat out been like an arsehole and cheated on you. But, like, you know, I know I've been in relationships and I've come out of it and it's ended, and if I've honestly looked at myself and my behaviours, like, I can go, well, yeah, there was a rhyme and a reason for some of it, but, yeah, you just have to kind of, like, reflect on it and audit it, because it stops you from making the same mistake next time. And you also learn a lot about yourself within relationships then. So, like, the next time you're in it, you know, you think a little bit more carefully, and, you know, it can be a little bit frustrating, like, especially when you see other people around you, and they might have actually had one relationship, then they met the person.
Or they got lucky.
Yeah. And, like, it's really easy to compare or, like, keep up with the Joneses and, like, you know, just look at everyone else and go, well, they're getting married. Like, what's so wrong with me?
And what I'll say to that, too, is that you never know what happens between two people once the door is closed. Comparison is really the thief of joy. And what I mean by that is, like, never, ever think, you know, what you see of a couple, how they interact, or what you see on their social media, or how they, you know, act, I don't know, in different scenarios, you just never know what's happening behind closed doors. And as a dating coach, I'm privy to that. So what I would say to people is just know, even the happiest couples have challenges. Everyone has challenges. So people really shouldn't beat themselves up and say, well, they're married, because marriage, I know a lot of people that are married that are lonely, that they aren't happy in their relationships. And I know some people that are happy too, but there's definitely, you know, marriage doesn't guarantee more happiness. Being single doesn't guarantee more happiness. They kind of are both the same, because again, it comes back to what we talked about before, which is the self-love piece. Like, your happiness is really about you, you know, and where you are. Another person can definitely add to it, and it's normal to want that companionship, but it doesn't necessarily mean once you get with someone that your happiness will go up. I read a really interesting article about that. They did a study, and they said when you get married, like, your happiness does not increase, because your happiness really is relational to you and how you're dealing with things. So again, that person definitely can add joy to your life and add to your happiness, but it doesn't mean it's going to increase your happiness. So I think people need to, like, be aware of that. and also know that, you know, when you see someone with someone else, that you really, you're only seeing that snippet or that moment in time.
Yeah.
Not seeing the relationship holistically.
Yeah, you're kind of seeing what they'd like you to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why, you know, you're probably at this age now, Dan, like, where there's people that were together and they get divorced. You're like, what? I thought they had it together. And I remember going through that phase with some friends where I was like, they're breaking up. Like, and these couples seem so perfect. Yes. Like, I never saw a glimpse of, you know, what was going on. But then when they finally got to the point where the divorce was happening, that's when they let out all these things they had been dealing with over time. So some people are just better at kind of keeping those things close to the best. But in the end, what I've learned in my experience is that everyone has certain challenges within their relationships.
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting, like, is it an argument of, like, compatibility? Like, is it a case of, you know, well, every couple's going to have their problems. So is it just a case of they weren't able to resolve those problems because they weren't compatible with each other? Or is it a case of if they put in the communication and the effort to wanting to resolve those problems, is that enough? Or is it a case of, like, no, you've got to be compatible, you've got to put the effort in, you've got to communicate, you know, what's the story there?
I think it's a confluence of many factors. I think that love is an action. Love is continuous, it's unconditional. So I think there could be someone you could love to death, but you could have moments where you're like, I can't stand this person, right? You make active decisions like, am I going to continue to endure this or leave? And I think there needs to be things there that keep you, you know, invested in it as far as, you know, being able to communicate with them or more importantly, even like being able to deal with each other's triggers. And what I mean by that is I think that everyone has triggers. I think that, you know, some people become more insecure in certain situations. Some people become more anxious in certain situations. But if you have the right partner and you're committed to working it through and you're both on the same page, then that person can quell your triggers. So I think that that's a piece of it. So if you don't have two mature people or one and a half mature people in a relationship, I think it could be pretty doomed, because you're going to just repeat cycles of, behavior that are negative. But I think if you can be with someone and you can at least communicate through it, cause like you just talked about something really that I picked up on earlier, you say you're very communicative. So for you, if you have someone that shuts down constantly, that's going to drive you crazy. So for you, one of your big things probably would be that they need to be able to communicate to you, whether it's good or bad, because you need that. That's one of your triggers. And I think in couples, I heard a really interesting story about how couples get into this cycle of control, rejection, and resentment. And so it was, the story is, the premise is this. There was a couple, they were married. And initially the wife was the stay-at-home mom, so she didn't work. The husband was the breadwinner. He worked outside the home. So he made all the decisions outside the home. She made all the decisions in the home.
Yeah.
This couple decided to go into business with each other. The dynamics of their relationship were deeply impacted. They started working together each day, and she wanted to be part of the decision-making in their business endeavors, but he still saw her in that role of just, let me handle the business, even though they're working in the business together, and you know, you don't worry about that part. And so, as you can imagine, they clashed. So she would present ideas to him about the business, and he would just shut it down and say, no, I'm gonna do it this way. That was the control. And then what it ended up creating was resentment. And then she rebelled and acted out. And then she felt rejected because she's like, why aren't my ideas good enough? But he felt like, I'm just operating in the role that I'm used to operating in. But they kept going through this cycle. And until they really went and got therapy to talk about the cycle, they realized they had to redefine the relationship. So I'm just telling it from her side because that was her perspective. Yeah. But I think that happens in a lot of relationships, that we all have different triggers for us. So when a person does a certain behavior, and if we've experienced it before, we hold them accountable, you know, subconsciously or consciously, for the behavior of someone else that did the same thing, because it feels familiar, it's history, there's pain attached to it. So we immediately are like, oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing it for this reason, this reason, this reason. And we don't always have the conversation. So to answer your question, sometimes it is the communication factor. I think compatibility is important. But I think having, like I talked about this before, I think that foundation friendship is more important, because when you're friends, you're honest with each other. There's mutual respect. You're like, this bothers me. I'm upset about this. And you can have a more honest discourse or discussion. I think a lot of relationships that break up, the people don't have that transparency with each other. They're holding back things, or they let things build. And it reaches a crescendo, and then things just fall apart. So to answer your question, I think there's many factors that can cause a breakup. But I think that the couples who have longevity, it's how they talk through things, it's how they bring conflict to resolution. I think that's a huge, huge piece of it. Because if you have someone that's communicative and you have someone that shuts down, you're never going to get the conflict resolution, right? And that's just going to build, and there's going to be resentment, and it keeps repeating itself, and that's just going to wear your relationship down. I think the couples who get through it, they're not agreeing on everything by any means, but they reach kind of a consensus on things, and they're like, okay, I know I don't like that he keeps throwing his dirty clothes in the middle of the floor. I don't like that she's a bad driver, or she's not the best cook, you know, but they kind of come to some kind of impasse. Okay, I know that's who they are, but I like these other six things about them. So they focus on those positive things, and they just keep working, you know, they keep working through it. And like I said, love is an action. They unconditionally just keep going through it. It doesn't mean they don't have bad days, but they're just committed to it. And I think, you know, just traditionally old school couples, when they got married, they just didn't think of having an out of divorce. It was like, we're in this, we're in it forever. You know, we got to see it through, for better or worse. I think now people don't have that same level of commitment. And statistically, unfortunately, you know, the more marriages you have, the higher your percentage goes up of getting divorced. And I think part of that is because you have more and more history, right, of the failure. So as soon as you see anything that triggers you, if it's not dealt with, then again, the relationship just falls apart. So I hope that answers your question. But I think, you know, holistically, that it's a number of factors that cause the breakdown. I think it's, number one, people not understanding each other's triggers. Number two, not having that friendship or mutual respect for each other. Number three, I think it's the communication respect thing for the other person. And number four, sometimes it's just people do end up growing in different directions.
Mm. No, you did answer that very well. You covered off a lot of different areas as well. That was kind of perfect, really, because I think I'm kind of glad that you answered and it was all of them. I was kind of like secretly hoping it was that. But yeah.
I think it could be a number of things. Like I said, everything isn't forever. Some people are just, they're people come in your life for different reasons at different times.
Hmm.
But I think we all crave that relationship that gives us the longevity, the real deep mental connection. And that takes time to build.
Yeah.
And people have to be willing to put in the work to do that.
Like the real deal, like finding a partner where you're like, yeah, we're in this thing together, like it's us against the world type thing.
Yeah, Jada Smith and Will Smith did a Red Table Talk. I don't know if you saw it, talking about their relationship. And she pretty much said, look, we had moments where we didn't want to talk to each other or deal with each other, but we were like, we never looked at our marriage ending. And they said, you know, we just looked at it like we're life partners. And she said, even if we were close together and he's on one side of the house and I'm on the other side of the house, no one's leaving the house permanently. So no one's going to leave the relationship is what she was comparing it to. And I think you almost have to have that belief system. Like no matter how bad it gets, you tell that person, you're in this with me. And I'm not giving up. I'm not going anywhere. But, you know, let's figure out how we work through this process to make it amicable, you know, for both of us. And that's going to come after time. Repeated, you know, learnings and, you know, I like to call them spirited discussions with one another about different things. But that's also what's going to build that bond and that deep connection with that person to get through it as well.
Hmm. Yeah. I really like that. I like that they've got that transparency with each other and to be able to be transparent enough to, you know, speak about it with, like, the general public. Because I know, like, I don't always find it easy, like, being totally 100%, like, transparent with another person, because, like, it opens you up to, like, that vulnerability, right?
It does.
So, like...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's it's just interesting because I think the more, it kind of comes back to like the self-care, self-love thing. Like, it's more than just what's on the surface. Like, each time you're doing it, like looking after yourself, each time you're improving yourself or doing something for yourself, what you're demonstrating is a belief within yourself. And that translates into real life as like confidence and self-esteem. And I think that, like, the more I develop those sorts of traits within myself by believing in myself and, like, liking myself because I want to do nice things for myself, and like I actually look after myself and I've got like respect and internal integrity, I think that that kind of caters towards that like transparency, because you're like, well, what have I got to hide? And so what if I show a bit of myself and someone doesn't like it? I like me, so that's enough, right?
I agree with you. Like, that's very smart. And I think what happens when you love yourself, your tolerance of what you won't take becomes stronger too. So your
Yes.
standards are there. And when you see someone disrespecting your standards, you're more apt to walk away from the situation quicker than you would if you don't have that self-love.
Yeah, because you're like, you kind of become like your own best friend, like backing yourself up, like, like, why are you trying to like walk all over me? Like, I'm better than that,
Right, that's true. I like the way you said that.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. That just came out of my head.
No, I like it. That's true. You do have to be your advocate. I always tell people you don't want to walk around with a total open heart, but in order to really receive someone, you do have to have some vulnerability and let people build to that. Like, you don't want to. But I have a friend. He always has the best sayings. He would tell me when I was dating, don't give away the answers to the test. I'm like, what? He said, and I said, like, what does that mean? He said, in other words, like, just observe. Like, don't tell people what to do. Don't tell everything you like right away. Have standards, but kind of just see who they are. Because I do believe in relationships, one of the things that hurts us is that in the early phases, you want to please so badly. So you adapt. You become a chameleon to be who that person wants you to be because you're like, I like them. They like me. This feels really good to be with someone.
Yes.
And then you build up this facade, right? And then in the end, you're like, as things, I shouldn't say in the end, but as the relationship matures, you reach this part of the relationship, you're like, oh, that's not who I am. And then the other person, you start seeing who they really are. And I think it's much more, is a better approach is kind of just to let people be. Let them do the things that make them happy. Just see how they react to things. Don't always quickly tell them, I won't accept this. I won't do this. Because then it tells you who they are, versus I think there's that period, like I said in the beginning, where people will do exactly what you want, and then you get in, you're like, what happened to that person? I want that person back from month one to three. And that person, but that person wasn't really who they were because you were kind of giving away the answers to the test. You were like, hey, I like this. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And they're doing it. But that's not really who they are. So I think it's a much better, evolved relationship. You just kind of watch and communicate with someone, and you see, oh, they like to communicate that way, and I like that. Like, it's a better way to assess, without getting your, without building your expectations unrealistically. Just seeing like who they really are at their true core, because people always, they always go back to their core personality.
Yes. Yeah, there's only so long that you can wear that mask before
Exactly.
you're found out. Like, I know that. Like, one of the major reasons, like, I love that we're talking about this, I really do. Like, one of the main reasons one of my relationships like broke down in the past is because I became that chameleon, because I was so desperate for them to like me. I wasn't like consciously thinking this, but this is just something to be aware of. Like, I was literally like, oh great, you like that TV show, I like it now as well. And like you said, like
Happens a lot, though. It happens a lot because if you
it
like someone
does.
and you want to please them, you're gonna, it's just normal. You're gonna, it's kind of like the guys that married the women that said, man, you used to cook all the time and you like never cook, or I was just doing it to get you, you know, like it's kind of deceptive in a way in my mind. Like, I think you should just genuinely be who you are, because I think I noticed that, like, when I was dating before, like the more authentic I was with people and just like, look, this is who I am. I'm a mess in this way. I'm not perfect. Like, it just kept, like, they would just get more and more into me. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. I would think it would be the opposite, right? But the more comfortable you are with yourself, I think people feel that, and that's attractive to them.
Yes.
So knowing yourself, knowing what you like, knowing what you're into, being excited about it, and just being able to be truly who you are, it helps you to shut the door to people who might not fit into that. And it helps you to open the door to people that are like, yeah, I dig that you're a weirdo. I can get with that. So I think there's something to that. But I totally get what you're saying, because I've been in those situations too, where it's like you just adjust to the person. You become all of what they like. And then you're like, wait a minute, who am I?
Yeah. Back to like what you just said, because like it was a really good point. Like, you know, you almost kind of like scare off the people that you don't want, because you shine such a bright light of authenticity that they're like, I can't, like, I'm going to get found out with this person. It's just not going to work.
They're afraid to approach you because they know, they have this sense of like they can't screw you around. It's very weird, but very true.
Yes.
They feel it. They feel that energy.
And then, like, you know, like what you were just saying as well about like the chameleon thing, and, you know, you do get like 6 months down the line or a year down the line, and you're like legit, who the hell am I? Because it starts off like with that first thing, you know, like you said, oh, I like to cook or whatever. It starts off with that, but then a thousand of those little like white lies later, and you're like very far from the person that you started off being when you're in front of each other in that bar or at the cinema or whatever. So like, it's something really interesting, like bearing in mind, like, I just love that we're talking about this, because I've never like spoken to anyone like this about this sort of thing before, and I don't know anyone that's kind of having this kind of conversation. It's interesting.
No, I think that, you know, if we were more honest with each other, that it would just save a lot of time and energy. I think the reason we're so jaded, or a lot of people are jaded, is because we're not being authentic and real with who we are. We're creating and putting out something that we want people to think we are, and then when it doesn't work because we're not being who we are. I mean, it's very simple that way. So I think the more that you can get, that's why that self-love piece is important. Like, get to know yourself. Like, when a breakup happens, look at it as an opportunity to go find yourself, figure out what makes you happy. Because if you solve that puzzle, that's the biggest part of the puzzle. No matter what relationship you're in, you'll be able to figure out how to react to it, how to deal with it, how to manage through it. But if you never know yourself, you just keep repeating the cycle, right? Of being in a relationship you probably shouldn't be in, you're not really in tune with who you are. So I think that's a big piece. And I think a lot of times we do know ourselves, but sometimes we hold back because of fear of rejection, or fear people won't understand, or fear we won't find someone who's going to be there, you know, right, the right person for us. But I really want people to push through that, because I love the relationships where people could just be authentic. And I'll use an example. Early in my career, I remember going to a holiday party for one of my jobs, and there were different couples there. This is funny. I wasn't even into relationship coaching at this point, but I just always liked observing couples. So I remember this one guy, at work, he was such a dominant personality, so strong. And then when he came to this party with his wife, he was like demure and shy and withdrawn. And I was like, who is that guy? And then I remember another couple where the husband was like flirting openly in front of his wife, not in a disrespectful way, but just like, oh, you're looking good, you know, in that dress. And I'm like, man, he's always like that. And she said, yeah, that's just his way. Like, it doesn't mean anything, but he likes to just talk, you know, to joke, and that's who he is. And just looking at those two couples, I was like, you know what? The guy who was flirting, but not disrespectfully, but like kind of being who he is, he didn't shift. That's the healthier relationship. They're still together. the other relationship where you can't be who you are and where the other guy totally changed from who he was at work, I knew right away there was a different dynamic in that relationship.
Yeah.
And then the guy I reported to confirmed it. He said, yeah, that's a really difficult dynamic. They don't get along. I don't know. He brought that up like separately without me prompting it. He brought it up one day and I was like, yeah, I remember. And I told him, I remember being at the party and observing him and the other couple. And I was saying, you know what? I want the relationship like the other couple because she knows who her husband is.
Yes.
And she's comfortable with her. You could tell she was confident and comfortable with herself. And so he was comfortable, but they probably had much more transparency in their relationship. Whereas the other guy, and I'll never say a name, was doing all kind of like things as far as infidelity because he was not able to be who he was in that relationship. And that relationship had huge issues.
Yes.
And the other couple was actually more loyal. So you would think opposite, right? But that's an example of like, I feel like when you can be who you are, that the right person, they if they get you, you'll be okay. You'll be fine. Probably better off.
Yeah. And this is great because I think it's very much like, it's like with yourself, right? If you try and suppress parts of who you are, it creates cracks, and eventually those cracks start to show in other areas of your life because it like spreads. Because everything that we do and like the places where we put our energy in our lives, like if we choose not to let something out in an area where it should be coming out, like in a relationship, and you kind of squash it down and, you know, push it and try and lock it away, it eventually comes out in some other form. You know, you can't hide away from the truth. And I think that's really important, what you were just saying about that story with the couples at the party. Like, that guy's suppressing himself, and it had to come out in a different way. And that's why... Yeah, that's why the infidelity happened, yeah.
I think there's a lot of people like that, where they'll be in a relationship, and their instinct is they need to walk away. But they love the person. I mean, these aren't easy decisions. Sometimes you could really be drawn to somebody, but they're just not good for you. And you know it. You feel it emotionally. You feel it in your heart. You feel it in your intuition. But you keep pressing forward. But I think the reason that infidelity or there are breaks that happen in the relationship occur because you're so starved for whatever that is that you've been holding out on for yourself. And when that thing comes along, you can't even resist it because you're just not getting it. And you've been denying yourself and denying yourself. And it's not an excuse for bad behavior, but I just think we're human. And I think where we lack things, we try to fill those things in other ways. So yes. I think a lot of times we already know it because we know ourselves for the most part, but I think we sometimes ignore it or we hope it goes away, but it always demonstrates itself, like you said, in some kind of way in our life, either through stress or emotional breakdown or other addictive behaviors or just not making good decisions. So I think when you don't deal with your own demons or your own needs, I mean, you know, and I'm saying needs in a very emotional, spiritual way, not just material.
Yeah.
It evolves and it comes out in a different way, in a negative way, in another aspect, if you just don't, you know, if you don't handle it or take time to deal with it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You can't hide it away forever because you'll just.
Yeah, wrap your feelings. They always catch up.
Yeah. Like, something's got to give eventually.
Yep.
You just, it's like the relationship's on like rocky foundations already.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this could help like some people maybe understand why their like past relationships are broken down, or why maybe something's in like a rocky state at the moment. So yeah, I think it's really useful. Like, what I wanted to do is, before we like end the episode, and kind of almost don't want to because of how interesting it's been, like the different stuff that we've spoken about, like point people in the direction of like, because you've written two really important articles that you spoke to me about before we came on the show, like point people in the direction of where they can find those and read them to hear more about this sort of, you know, amazing content that you've been delivering.
Yes, so I contribute to Thought Catalog, and one article I wrote was 6 Definite Signs it's time to let go of someone you love. So there's some good tips in there to help you to navigate through whether you should continue in a relationship or if you should end the relationship. And then there's another article I wrote on Medium.com called 7 Ways to Get Over a Breakup. So in that article, I just kind of give you some of the tools that we talked about today of ways you can cope through the breakup. So once you decide to make that move in the relationship, just helping you kind of be aware of the things you can do to get to the next step in your life. And I want people to know it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to have those feelings like, is it me? Why did it happen? Because I think those are all normal feelings. I think you have to embrace them. But I also want people to know sometimes like a breakup can be the best thing that happens to you. It doesn't feel that way at the time. But, you know, the more you're with someone who isn't for you, it lessens your time to be with someone who's for you. So sometimes that breakup opens the door for the right person. You hear so many stories of people knowing they weren't with the right person, and finally maybe that person leaves them, they leave them, or they leave the other person, and then all of a sudden they meet someone, right, that's much more compatible. Because I think when you don't have what you want becomes clearer. So when it's in front of you, you treat it differently. And sometimes you got to go through that negative relationship to know what you want or to appreciate. That's good. So I mean, I hope those articles can help. And if you go to my website, ElizabethOverstreet.com, there's a lot there. And there's also content on Instagram under the New Rules of Dating and on Facebook and Twitter under the New Rules of Dating. So I always try to write from, you know, the different sides of relationships, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I think breakups, if we kind of look at them differently, And almost approach it like, you know, I think in a relationship, the way you should kind of look at it is, okay, if I had cancer and I was dying in a week, and this is extreme,
yeah,
but I want to be a good person, where would I be spending my time? Because when people get sick with a serious sickness, they totally reprioritize their life, right? So think about your relationship in that way, because though you may not have cancer, every day of your life is precious. You don't know when it's going to end, and you just want to make sure you're spending it, that time with the person that you really want to be with, that's for you. And it's okay to be selfish about that and wanting the best person that's for you.
Yeah, Elizabeth made some really good points, you know, especially about, you know, it's completely natural. Like, everyone, the more I learn about this, the more I kind of make peace with it. Like, you know, you might not find like that person that really connects with you like until like decades after like the people around you have found it, or it could be that, you know, you find it out of the embers and the sort of like the dying flames of another relationship. Like, you know, it can, like, I do believe it can come when you're ready, but I believe that, kind of like what Elizabeth said earlier, you know, it can come when you least expect it as well. You know, it can come actually when maybe you weren't ready for it, but it actually helps you bridge the gap between one relationship and another one. So, like, you know, just be kind to yourself. And, you know, my thing is always just get back to basics. Like, you know, remember who you are. And if you don't know who that is or don't have a sense of it, I don't think we ever really know who we are. I think we just work towards that. And like, I just think it's always about getting back to basics and figuring that out and just building up that self-esteem by, you know, respecting yourself, and doing things that like stand up for you like every day. Yeah, that's my 2 cents.
Oh, that's a good 2 cents. And I think that, you know, when you do that, it'll help you, like you say, transition through it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Cause it's never nice, right? Like, it sucks. It's
it does. It's hard. I mean, it's hard. But I think on the back end of it, when you do finally find the right person, then you're like, oh, I'm so glad that didn't work out and I didn't waste my time there. And then when you're away from someone, you're really away, like you've broken up and you had space, you can actually reflect on it a lot of times and say, yeah, they weren't right for me. I'm glad, like, that actually helped me get clarity on this, and this in my life. So, like you said, you can't always see that in the moment of a breakup, but post-breakup, usually is, you really have some clarity that it probably just wasn't for you.
Yeah. Yeah, they did you a favor in a way.
They did, right.
Yeah, I totally believe that, and I just want to say like a really big thank you for like coming on the show again, because like I have to say like I was blown away the first time you came on with like the stuff that you said, and I was worried about doing a particular niche topic, like breakups is just like one particular area, but we've actually had like a lot of really good conversation, and I think we like I've definitely like understood like actually it kind of weaves into lots of different areas, so we've actually been able to cover a lot just by the nature of the conversation. And yeah, I just really appreciate your like thoughts and wisdom. I truly believe that this is something that you've got a gift in, seeing these people in their relationships and being able to like work out the dynamics and like the intimacy and compassion and the kind of glue that it takes to build like true meaningful relationships. So just always appreciate your like thoughts and wisdom, like I say.
Thank you so much. I mean, I really love helping people. And like I say, always say, I don't want people to go through wasting time like I did or how, like other people have done. We should be learning from each other's experiences and helping each other to get better at this. And we all share these same relationship challenges in common. So, I mean, if it was easy, everyone would be in one, but they're not. It takes effort and time and the right mix of people together. So I hope that people can walk away from this and, have some ideas of how to get through difficult situations. Because I do know, the breakups, they're difficult to handle
Yeah.
and adjust to.
Yeah. They're not nice, but hopefully with some of the stuff that we've spoken about, it can be a little bit easier and, just learn along the way. That's probably the best advice I could give.
Absolutely. Learn and get better
Yes.
and be better. So you're when you the right person does come in your life, that you are the best version of yourself for
Yeah.
them. And they'll appreciate that.
Yeah. They will. So check out elizabethoverstreet.com and the new rules of dating on Instagram and Twitter for Elizabeth's stuff. Really great articles. I've actually read a few of them as well. And yeah, just really appreciate the content that Elizabeth puts out. And like I say, very big thank you for coming on the show. So
Thank you for having me. It was fun as always.
anytime, honestly. And if you've got more feedback, like we had on the last episode, please, let us know about it. I'm always happy to get together with Elizabeth again. It's just really good content. I get a lot out of it as well because I just enjoy talking about this sort of stuff. So, give us a shout out on Twitter or Instagram, just leave a review, whatever you want to do, however you want to reach out, feel free to do so because other people have and really grateful for that.
Yeah, let us know if this is helpful because I mean, like Dan is saying, it's just always good to hear what you guys are thinking, what's on your mind, and if things resonate with you, because we want to make sure we're putting out content that's helpful to you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's for the I can't even speak. That's the show for today. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Elizabeth, for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Until next time, this has been Dan Udell with Elizabeth Overstreet on Know Yourself. Peace out.